You're listening to the Untitled Thorne Morris Project. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Can we just say it the other way real quick? Can we just say the Untitled Morris Thorne Project and see which one sounds better?
You're listening to the Untitled Morris Thorne Project. Morris Thorne sounds like a guy.
Yeah, he sounds like a soul singer.
He sounds like a go-go singer, I would say, probably. Like he's in the backyard band in DC or something.
Thorne Morris will be fine.
Thorne Morris. Okay. You're listening to the Untitled Thorne Morris Project. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
First episode, very exciting stuff. As you can tell, no title for the show yet.
A lot of stuff still up in the air. For instance, what the show's called, what happens on the show. How long the show is going to be. Really, we're pretty much just jumping in feet first.
We haven't even discussed how long the show is going to be.
No, it honestly didn't even come up.
At this point, all we know is that we're going to record it here in my den, where the elevator goes by every so often and goes...
That's a good jumping off point.
What I'm actually genuinely terrified of is that somehow the microphones, having two microphones in here, is going to pick up this man who lives across the way from me who hawks loogies all morning. And like not just like hawks loogies, but like hawks loogies to an extent that like you almost can't imagine that it's real. Like you feel like you're living in like the beginning of a horror movie or something. Have you ever heard the loogies, Jordan?
I have heard the loogies, and it's either a horror movie or that rascal Tom Green doing one of his outrageous repetitive bits.
It's such a nightmare to live in. I mean, I should really like point out for people, just to kind of clarify what I'm talking about, this isn't like somebody going or something like that. It's kind of like extended.
Yeah, here's what I was feeling when I first heard the loogie hawking. It was kind of a battle in myself. One, I was kind of mad at him for doing it. I'm mad at that someone could be so gross, you know, like with no regard for people listening to this mucus sound. Like, well, I'm mad at you for being so gross, but also I'm worried that this is some horrible disease that you just can't. Oh, like, you know, I think you live in a neighborhood, you know, where you could suspect that some people probably don't have health insurance and can't. You know, if they are hawking up blood or, you know, chunks of something else that, like, you know, they might not be able to take care of it. And I'm like, oh, you know, stop it, you disgusting person, but also feeling really bad because maybe this is, I mean, maybe he's dying. Maybe he's perishing. And
like my mom, when she was like maybe 30 or something like that, almost died of tuberculosis. And so, like, I'm convinced that this person must have consumption or something. You know, like, they're really sincerely,
some
like...
some disease that people haven't had since the 40s.
But then, like, after a certain extent, after a certain length of time of someone hawking up their insides right outside your window, and I should say, like, they're clearly not only doing it loud, like, it's not normal loogie hawking volume. It's clearly, like, the yell... Like if loogie hawking is a gentle whisper, this is the yell of loogie hawking.
I mean, it's you almost think they might be doing it for your benefit, or for you specifically to hear. Like maybe, you know, like there's those sex perverts who, you know, like want you to see their balls. Who like just like go home and they're really excited that someone like saw their balls on the bus. Or something. Like maybe this guy's thing is he's really excited that people are hearing him, you know, hearing him phlegm.
And the thing, it's clearly the windows, like he's thrown open the sash of every window.
He's an
in
exhibitionist.
His home.
He's a loogie based exhibitionist.
But like what I was saying is, you know, like there's a certain extent to which you're like, this person must have a disease. And I hear you expressing that. And, you know, when Teresa, my girlfriend Teresa, who lives with me here, when it first started happening, it was like, you know, Teresa would be like, oh, God, that's gross. And then I would be like, come on, Teresa, somebody's got something really wrong with them, right?
Right.
But Teresa goes off to law school every day at 7 o'clock in the morning or something, 7:30 in the morning.
You stay here and watch your stories.
And I say, yeah. And I'm here in the house, and every day the loogie hawking happens. And it's only in the morning for the most part. There's an occasional afternoon hawking.
Right.
But it's normally like I would say mostly between 8 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts to become this horrible burden because you know it's coming. Like, right. When you wake up, you're like, oh, God, he's going to start hawking those loogies again. It starts happening, and you're just like, oh. And so, like, after maybe a month of living here, I started periodically just opening the window and yelling, I'm sorry if you're sick, but can you please do that in your bathroom or something with the windows closed?
Or something.
Which didn't have any effect. And I mean, it's possible that that
he
person
doesn't speak English.
Doesn't
maybe.
Speak English. There's a lot of Spanish-speaking people in my neighborhood, a lot of Korean-speaking people in my neighborhood. But, you know, like, and the thing about it is you can't pinpoint it. Because my window opens on a kind of a courtyard in an apartment building that's kind of a big, you know, six-story apartment building, sort of like a, you know, 20-style apartment building. So there's at least 15 or 20 units that it could be in my building. And then in the building across from me, across on the courtyard, there's another 8 or 10 units it could be coming from. So it's like there's no way to target it. There's no way to blame anyone. It's just this horrible loogie that comes to you from the miasma. It's like sewer gases. If I was in the early 20th century, it would be like sewer gases.
You know what? I think in television, they would call the loogie discussion.
That
was just our cold open.
Oh!
Our cold open is like the thing before the, in like a sitcom, it's like
right.
that opening joke before the theme song.
Exactly. Bow, 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 bow,
bow. Podcast we don't have a name for yet.
Why are we doing this podcast again?
Vanity. Well, you're Jesse Thorne, America's
right.
radio sweetheart from the very successful podcast The Sound of Young America.
Right.
And I'm a guy you knew in college. Well, we used to do a kind of a version of The Sound of Young America
right.
on our
even,
college radio station.
And even some people listen to that version of The Sound of Young America on The Sound of Young America the college years.
Right.
Hundreds of people literally listen to that.
Okay. So yes, this is for those hundreds of people who are interested in that, who want more of that.
Right. So just as about 1 in 10 listeners to The Sound of Young America wants to listen to the college years, our hope is that one in ten
who
listen to the college years will want to listen 5%? To
5%? What is that? 5% we're shooting for?
No, that would be 1%.
Oh, okay.
I think 10% of 10%, 1%.
That'd be 5%. Anyway, that's shoddy math. Yeah, so I guess we're going to talk about things and call people and have
we're gonna have
contests.
Guests. I think we'll have guests. We're going to have regular segments. A lot of people always email me about the stuff that we used to do on The Sound of Young America, because even just when The Sound of Young America started as a podcast, there was still regular shows that at least included material from when you were co-hosting the show, Jordan.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a
it's
lot
It's only
of,
semi-recently that you, that it's all new material.
And it's only semi-recently that it's been all, you know, relatively serious and not a lot of goofing around, a lot of sincere interviews.
Right.
So, you know, we thought we would take all that stuff that we used to do and transfer it to this new medium of podcasting, which, you know, is really, it's really designed for the vanity entertainer.
Right. Yeah, I think so. And, you know, hopefully people will listen to this at the gym.
Yeah.
Is, I think, what we're shooting for.
To get them pumped. Okay, so here's something that I need to know about. Oh, okay, and so we're also going to be, and we'll also be asking people, you know, to call into the hotline and leave messages for us.
Yes.
Send us emails.
There's a hotline and a blog associated with this.
There's a hotline and a blog at MaximumFun.org. So sometimes we'll talk about stuff that came up on the blog.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we'll have things where you'll call in and or email us your phone number and we'll get people live on the air, you know, live on tape or whatever it's called.
Right.
This doing the Sound of Young America without the people who used to call in to the Sound of Young America when we were on live morning radio in Santa Cruz, which is, you know, like stoned people.
Yeah. I mean, I think something that the show is missing now that it had before is that kind of wealth of, you know, of the stoned, like, you know, kind of a crazy, like crazy liberals, like crazy kind of super liberals calling in. And like being upset that something we said wasn't crazy and liberal enough.
and understand, a crazy liberal right here, but not
right.
enough.
Right,
Santa
right.
Cruz. Santa Cruz.
You don't have a giant beard and a recumbent bike, as I think what separates you from the other from the crazy liberals in
Santa Cruz.
Cruz,
you can get in really big trouble. It's entirely possible to get in really big trouble for supporting the fluoridation of water
right.
So that people's teeth don't rot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a big one. We used to go on the radio in Santa Cruz when we had our afternoon slot for a long time for a guy who, God rest his soul, he died recently, lived in the woods. He literally lived in the woods
and would come down to do his radio show and then tramp back up to the woods again to live.
And he was, you know, an old man. He was at least, I would say, 65. Yeah. Wouldn't you say he was about 65? It was hard to tell. I mean, he lived in the woods.
Right. Just ravaged by forest living. His name was Bob DeBolt, and he had this show on before us, and it was this, you know, it was like crazy conspiracy theories. But not like fun crazy, not like,
no.
But like kind of just upset, you know, like secret police are going to murder us, like stuff like that. Not like fun alien stuff that you might hear on like AM radio at night.
Exactly.
So he does this show, and it's pretty crazy by all accounts. You know, usually you're pretty friendly with the person who does the show before or after you, whether, you know, that be the metal guy or white guy doing reggae.
Yeah. And, you know, it's community radio in Santa Cruz, so the people are generally really nice.
Right, bringing their dogs into the station, stuff like that. Anyways, but Bob DeBolt was always really cranky, didn't look at you, didn't, you know, really acknowledge you were there. He was just kind of this crazy old guy. And I remember, you know, the last time I ever saw him, it was right after Arnold Schwarzenegger got elected governor. And I came into the radio station and just kind of, you know, was like, hey, Bob, and didn't expect him to say anything. But he says, he's like, so, did you hear about the Terminator? Looks like he's going to terminate California. And then he died. And then he died, like, the next week. And I don't know. It's weird. I mean, I don't want to – for some reason, it's hard to stop thinking about that because you kind of wonder, like, well, maybe at that point he knew – he was going to die, and I think he had cancer, but it was too suspicious of doctors to go.
Right.
So I was like, well, maybe he kind of knew, and he was trying to reach out to me. He's trying to reach out to this guy.
He would reach out. I feel like he reached out to us on a relatively regular basis. Once we were his lead-in for about a year, normally, you know, it would be the first week, hey, how's it going? But he kind of eyed us suspiciously for a year or so first. And then I feel like he would occasionally make some kind of gesture towards us, like he wanted to.
He would leave us a plastic bag full of figs.
There was this guy at the station, and he was just the sweetest guy in the world. And he would totally bring in he worked at a natural food store.
Bring in plastic bags of figs, soap made from hemp.
And he'd want you to eat it. He'd be like, Jesse, I got some carob butter.
Yeah, something carob related, definitely. I think we mentioned white guys with reggae shows, which was like the number one thing on our college radio station.
It literally ran the college radio
station. Yeah, pretty much the money that the white guys with the reggae shows brought in pretty much made sure that the station stayed afloat.
And
it was
also
amazing.
You know, to an amazing extent, given that they were white guys with reggae shows, like I feel like they were really responsible for keeping the station kind of running smoothly.
Yeah.
Like the white guys with reggae shows were really on top of their white guy with reggae show business.
And they were like local celebrities even. Like having one of them at your event would guarantee attendance. Like what other college radio DJ would – like who cares about a college radio DJ, right? But these guys for some reason were these local celebrities. And
also many of them talked in fake Jamaican accents.
Well, that's what I was going to talk about, is that they all kind of appeared in character and this, you know, white guys, and they're like, all right, blessed be, it's Jai in the morning. And it was kind of cool because they stayed in character and they were like these guys. But also part of college radio is you have to read like community announcements twice an hour. You had to read community announcements. And it seemed like they only could do in the accent what they had planned on doing. And when they had to veer from it, like for instance, to read a community announcement or to take a call, they had to drop the accent because they weren't prepared. So it's kind of like the break would come and he's like, all right, you know, blessed be, it's Jai in the morning, buck, and it's, you know, keep it locked at 88.1. But now the Aptos Chess Club will be meeting Thursdays at 5 for a great afternoon of learning about chess and community spirit. All right. You know, and then go back into it. Well, I guess we should say we don't live in Santa Cruz anymore. We both live in Los Angeles. How long have you been living
here? This is a
here?
Big deal. This is like the biggest change in my life in ever. I've been living here 4 months now.
Okay.
I'm going to say 3 months. 3 months, maybe. I don't know. It's they all run together.
3 or 4 months.
I never leave the house, so it all kind of runs together. Yeah, so I'm originally from San Francisco, and Jordan is originally... you're originally from Orange County.
Right. I grew up in Orange County, lived there pretty much all my life, and then I went to school in Santa Cruz with Jesse, and then I moved to L.A. after the graduation.
So after I graduated, I moved back to San Francisco, right? Because like any self-respecting San Francisco, I believe San Francisco to be, you know, the greatest city in the world, pretty much the greatest place in the world. Like any native San Franciscan will pretty much tell you about how, you know, you can just crossing the border into San Francisco gives you the power to have multiple orgasms. And
right. Me and Gene and I in college, Gene was a co-host of ours on the show. Gene and I had this character that we would do kind of behind your back.
Right.
but based on that kind of San Francisco snobbery, he was like the city critic for like the New York Times.
Right.
And it'd go like, Seattle, too much fog, F minus. And it'd give everything an F minus.
And it's totally, if you live on the East Coast, I think New Yorkers is exactly the same thing.
Right.
It's like if you're a New Yorker, then you just think everything else is just not even worth considering.
Right.
I mean, it's not like New Yorkers do a lot of day trips to Philadelphia.
No, they don't go to Rhode Island a lot.
So for me, like moving to Los Angeles is just this horrible, like I moved to Los Angeles by choice.
Right.
It was my choice. Like when people ask me, a lot of times I'll try and blame it on my girlfriend, Teresa. Like I'll say like, oh, you know, Teresa's in law school down here.
And then you'll make that symbol like you're being hanged. Like you hold up your hand and yeah.
No, I won't do that. But
just make the jack off motion.
Yeah, exactly. Let's keep it straight.
Oh,
so and that's true. Teresa is in law school down here, right. But she offered to go to the University of San Francisco.
Right.
It's such a change in my life. And, you know, we were talking just the other day, Jordan, about you. You went to see the new Mike Judge movie, Idiocracy.
Yes.
In the theater. It came back into the theaters here briefly. And Idiocracy is about this world where it's America, but only these stupid people have bread. And so everything just kind of devolves into this crass commercial wasteland.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, everything has logos plastered all over it. There's kind of, there's garbage everywhere, and it's everything's very loud and intense. And, you know, kind of like, you know, it's a very, it's loud and
exactly.
intense with logos
it's loud
everywhere.
And intense, and there's basically professional wrestlers running everything.
Right.
And when we walked out of that theater watching that, it's a very funny movie, Teresa looked at me and she said, "You know what I thought?" And I was like, that movie was just a description of Los Angeles? And she was like, yes. So that's how...
And then you both laid down in the middle of the street.
Yeah, and cried. But you're from a place which is... I don't feel qualified to say if it's better or worse than Los Angeles, but is at least as weird.
Yeah. Orange County is an odd place. And I guess that I have some of the similar complaints about LA that you do, but I'm just so excited to live in a place
right.
where there are things, where there's not where everything doesn't revolve around a giant movie theater. In Orange County, every place that you would go, at least a part of Orange County that I'm from,
right?
Every place you would go is somehow centered around a giant movie theater with 30 screens. Like, if you want to go to a restaurant, if you want to go, you know, if there's a shop you want to visit, it all is some sort of satellite around a giant 30 screen movie theater.
And I should say, you know, my father's family lives in Southern California. I mean, mm-hmm. not a big family, but my grandmother lives in Mission Viejo, which is where you grew up pretty
right.
much.
Yeah.
She now lives in El Toro, which I think is adjacent to Mission Viejo or something.
Right.
My aunt, who's my dad's only other relative, lives in Laguna Beach, mm-hmm. which is, you may know from television's Laguna Beach, the show.
Just to give people some perspective, my little sister, who only recently moved away from Orange County to go to college, her high school was considered for the Laguna Beach High School.
And they're,
so
and
that's the kind of area.
Aren't her school and the school they actually did pick, weren't they like football rivals?
Yeah, they're football rivals. And yeah, my sister would see all the Laguna Beach kids out at football games and tell me about how fat they looked in person. Anyway, so yeah, so I guess I'm a little more. It's nice to be in LA where there are things and actual stuff going on.
And you know, you gotta hand it to LA because it does have things in it.
Yeah, it's full of things.
It's totally full of things. I mean, there are few places in America, and you know, frankly, few places in the world that have as many things in them as Los Angeles does. Mm-hmm. You know, full credit to Los Angeles and a lot of great things. You know, so for example, one of the reasons, you know, I live here is because there's this amazing, you know, comedy scene here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah.
That surpasses, I would say, even the amazing comedy scene in Chicago or New York. I mean, these are places, you know, that where comedians all gather together, you know what I mean? And Los Angeles is pretty much tops, whereas San Francisco... You know, what comedy, there is great comedy in San Francisco, but, you know, frankly, when people get to a certain place in their career, they usually just move to Los Angeles or New York.
Yeah, you can pretty much see, you know, see your favorite comedian any given night of the week for a pretty small amount of money, and it's not a big, you know, $30 comedy club trip that you have to make. It's a pretty, pretty painless procedure.
Besides that, when you go see the comedian, you know, there's a pretty good chance that, like, Sarah Michelle Gellar is going to be there.
Right. I think Lance Armstrong was in the audience of the last small comedy show I saw.
What's the lady from Party of Five?
Teresa, what was the Party of...
No, it's a lady with three names that's like Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Jennifer Love Hewitt. Jennifer Love Hewitt. Was she on Party of Five?
Hard to say, really.
Yeah, she was too. Okay. So we saw Jennifer Love Hewitt. I didn't see her. Teresa saw her outside of there. That's another thing about Los Angeles is you see a celebrity participating in everyday life.
Right.
Which in San Francisco is really only going to happen if it's Huey Lewis. My girlfriend's mom comes home one time and she goes, "Oh my God." And we're like, "What?" And she's like, "Guess who I saw?" And she's like doing that thing where you're like fanning yourself.
Right, because you have the vapors or something.
And guess who I saw at Pete's Coffee? And we're like, "Who?" And she's like, "Huey Lewis." She's like, "I talked to him."
Huey.
That's one thing about being a native San Franciscan is that you're not allowed to say anything bad about Huey Lewis. Huey Lewis and Chris,
the sacred cow.
Huey Lewis and Chris Isaac get lifetime passes for being San Francisco celebrities that stayed in San Francisco. Like even me, obviously I'm one of the snootiest people on earth. But if you bring up Huey Lewis to me, I'll totally defend Huey Lewis. Anybody that knocks Huey Lewis, I'll be like, "Man, you name a one party band better than Huey Lewis and the News." And they'll be like, "I don't know, the Commodores." And I'll be like, "Okay, name two." Anyway, that's totally out. Well, I feel like the probably the leitmotif of this new untitled Thorne Morris project is going to be Jesse's really not sure what to do about living in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's what a weird. I just feel really weird about it.
It is weird. I mean, maybe you should have like a hobby or something, like a non-radio hobby that you do. I don't know what would help you.
I really do. Like my whole like lifestyle right now is just sitting in here, and I don't even get paid to do the Sound of Young America. But like my whole lifestyle is just sitting in here and working, just sitting at my desk working on the computer.
You thought about maybe you could get a membership to the Y and go swim some laps.
Yeah, you got a membership to the Y once and started swimming laps.
Yes, I still have a membership.
You still
to the
do
Y.
That?
Yeah, it's great. And I can't go for a week because they have to renew my financial aid. So I have to wait for that to come through. They have to make sure I'm still not making enough to pay full price. Yeah, YMCA is great. You go and you know, I think people complain a lot about, you know, health clubs in LA. You know, that it's just kind of a scene and that, you know, the women get all made up to go and everybody's just strutting around. Here's the great part about YMCA. Just a bunch of Mexican dads.
Wow, that's awesome.
Me and a bunch of Mexican dads in the locker room.
Are they like cholo dads, though, or are they just regular Mexican dads?
No, it's not like, you know, I don't think no one drove a lowrider there.
There was a song, I can't remember what group did it, but there was this group that did this song called Cholo Dad that was so... That was, and it was about this dad that doesn't want his daughter to go out with the rappers because he's a cholo and he's really mean.
Right.
But it was like so resonant to me because I grew up in the Mission in San Francisco. There was cholo dads left and right, right? And it was like, I was like, oh, cholo dad, that will stay in my heart forever. Like the identification, just pinpointing, ah, cholo dad, that's a social phenomenon. Like, ah, yes. One good thing, I'll tell you, one thing I like about living in Los Angeles is it, over the past, like, 15 years, the neighborhood that I grew up in San Francisco has really changed a lot. And one thing that I get here in Koreatown in Los Angeles that I didn't get by the time I was, you know, 24 and living in the Mission in San Francisco is horns that play La Cucaracha. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know those horns.
Like every time I hear that, or every time I hear like a ranchero coming out of somebody's house, you know, like somebody's listening to Narco Corridos or something, you know, it's like, oh, those El Tigres, Los Tigres del Norte or something like that. And I feel like, oh, I could get with this. And then I have to drive 3 hours to get somewhere that's 15 miles away.
Right.
And then I keep asking Los Angeles people like when, like what I should do about the driving. And, the advice that I've gotten from like three separate people is they're like, oh, you know, it's not so bad. I just try and focus, you know, I just try and do my, if I really have to go somewhere and do something, I just try and do it on Sunday or at night. And I'm like, really at night? Because like every time I go out, I think it's like the traffic's going to be done because it's like 8 or 9. And then it's, no, that by night, at night, they mean after midnight.
Yeah, right, right. I mean, the traffic patterns in LA, I mean, I know this is kind of hacky to be discussing LA traffic.
I know.
But I think it is worth mentioning that the pattern is totally random. I don't think that anyone, there's no time that you can go that like, it just seems to be totally random. It's like, noon on Wednesday? Nope, sorry. You know, sorry, the freeway's blocked up for some reason. Who knows? And then, or, it'll, you know.
We can come back to Los Angeles
programs. Yeah, we live there. I actually hear, well, if we want to keep talking about it, I think I wanted, I was going to talk about my new apartment situation.
Yeah.
And maybe ask, you know, ask if people have any kind of compromise tips for me.
Okay.
So I've lived in LA for about 2 years and I started out, I had to move here. After college, I got a job and kind of had to move up here really fast. So, you know, they're like, well, you start Monday. So I had to, you know, so I got a Craigslist place, and I got a Craigslist place in Silver Lake. It was kind of Silver Lake is kind of like a hip neighborhood in Los Angeles. It's kind of like a hip, you know, a little bit less expensive neighborhood, you know.
You can tell it's a hip neighborhood, because it looks exactly like every other neighborhood in Los Angeles that isn't for extraordinarily rich people.
Right, exactly. You know, there's like a lot of indie rock house shows,
right,
in Silver Lake and like hat stores. Well, you know, like the occasional, like there's like a bondage store.
Yeah.
So it's hip.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I got and I got a house with a girl who seemed really, she seemed hip and she seemed kind of with it and nice, and it was a nice house.
And she was cute.
So that was, you know, I thought maybe there would be some, you know, passing in the hall or something, some passing in towels, like we'd both wave at each other in towels a lot. Anyways, turned out to be a real weirdo. A lot of bands sleeping on our floor. A lot of bands sleeping on our floor mainly was the main point of contention.
It was really weird. I visited you a number of times at the house. And it was, I mean, the lady was not a bad lady, but
no,
it was weird.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
For someone who was like 32, like led a really weird life.
She was
like,
32?
She's totally 32.
Oh, my God. I would have guessed based on her behavior that, well, based on her behavior,
maybe she was
like
one of those
19-year-olds
who didn't go to college, who just like moved out on their own and like had this weird. Anyways, 32, and
didn't she drive a Red Bull truck?
Yeah, no, I think she drove the Rockstar Energy Drink, Monster Energy Drink, excuse me, the Monster Energy Drink truck. Like that was her job, was driving it to events and like handing it out at, you know, at like you know, Mudvayne concerts or something like that. Anyway, so that was strange, and then she kind of asked me to leave. After like a year, she said she had this New York friend who she had been promising to move in, which is kind of a weird thing. It's like, maybe you should tell the person that up top.
Yeah.
Eventually, but whatever. I mean, it was kind of nice to have an excuse to maybe go into a little more of a comfortable situation.
Right.
So I kind of moved in Silver Lake, and I moved to this other place with just kind of this dude who was on a Disney Channel show. And I guess the Disney Channel show, to hear him tell it, they have a lot of school shows set in high school or middle school, and the kids they use to fill out the classroom, you have the kids that are the stars of the show, and then you have the kids filling out the classroom. It's just the same group of kids. So I guess in every Disney Channel show, it's the same 20 kids filling out the classroom, and he was one of those people. And occasionally,
I'm sure he wasn't a drug dealer, because that sounds like something a drug dealer would make up.
Perhaps. I guess the exploding vials in the kitchen maybe weren't. Anyway, here's why that was weird. Okay. Let's talk about why that was
weird. Spill the beans.
I'm no homophobe. You know that.
Right.
You know I'm no homophobe.
No, absolutely not. You're as pro-gay as the next man.
Right. And he was gay. And I guess this, he doesn't even have to relate to his gayness. I guess this is just a politeness thing.
Right.
But hearing kind of loud gay porn late at night was a kind of a constant source of discomfort. I mean, I guess hearing any porn late at night, I guess.
But I think, you know, if it's a different than your kind of porn, that makes it doubly
more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, although I guess any loud noise late at night, I guess if this was, you know, a Jessica Simpson music.
But gay porn particularly.
Gay porn particularly. I'm trying to make myself maybe seem more tolerant than I actually am.
Right.
But you know what? I'm just going to go out and say it. I don't like listening to gay porn.
Right.
You know, sorry if I'm Rick Santorum over here.
Yeah.
But I just don't. So that was a kind of a weird situation.
One cool thing about podcasting is you don't have to be PC.
Yeah, we say it because you're thinking it. So anyways, then our mutual friend, Lauren from college.
Right.
Who we do sketch comedy with upon occasion, moved to L.A. and found this really great apartment. And asked if I wanted to move in, and I said yes. It's great. It's in West Hollywood, and so I moved into this apartment. It's quite nice. And,
you know,
I feel
it's
comfortable.
It's an exciting opportunity because Lauren, you know, she has her faults like anybody else, but like you could hardly imagine a more pleasant lady.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. She's a really really fantastic, really nice, considerate, concerned about my feelings, which I like.
Right. You do like that.
I do. I like it when someone has a lot of investment in my feelings. Like that's a selling point on that person.
I think we all like that.
Yeah. Anyways, so we've moved in, and it's been great. You know, we both kind of work long,
crazy TV job hours.
Yeah, we both have crazy TV jobs. So you know, we don't do a lot of hanging around. But anyways, so it's been great, and there's kind of this one point of contention. And that is how much stuff to buy for the house, how much stuff to have in the house.
Right.
And Lauren is kind of on the side of wanting a lot of stuff, wanting to go to IKEA and get a lot of different bookshelves, hanging lamps, stuff like, you know, coffee tables, things like that. Wants
right.
a lot of – really likes – go. I mean, and I like going to IKEA. I mean, it's a fun place to go, great place to spend an afternoon.
Lingonberry drink.
Yeah, lingonberry drink, cinnamon bun.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of on the other end of the spectrum to where I don't want a lot of – I don't have a lot of stuff.
We should explain. This is just the best of my recollection, but I would estimate your total worldly goods when you moved into this – and this was after living on your own for a year.
Right.
Year and a half. Was – this is just an estimation from an outside observer. I would say one PlayStation –
yes.
One GameCube. Controllers for those.
Right.
About 20 games. Maybe 10 DVDs.
Sure.
10, 15 DVDs. Sheets. One set of sheets, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
A pillow or two. Two pillows, I think.
Two pillows. One of those space pillows.
Right. One of those space pillows. And I'm going to say, you know, clothes-wise, a couple pairs of blue jeans, some T-shirts. These were stored in a... sort of
plastic
pile
bin.
Configuration.
A pile or a plastic bin.
Yeah, a sweatshirt or two.
Yeah.
And this folding chair that your dad gave you out of his storage unit.
Yes.
One of those camping chairs.
Yes, and a camping chair.
And a mattress. You had a mattress.
So Lauren and I are kind of, we're both unreasonable in our position. She, I feel like, wants an unreasonable amount of stuff, and I want a really unreasonably small amount of stuff.
Right. It's just, and just to clarify, going in, you didn't have any. My point is, no stuff. No, at all.
Right. Yes.
You
no
had
stuff.
You've been living on your own for a year and a half, and you had only recently acquired a desk, for which, as I recall, you had no chair.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what makes me uncomfortable about buying stuff. I mean, maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe I feel like there was a lot of like, contention in my family about like money growing up. So I don't want to be
you're a
burden on anybody's bank account. I don't
right.
know what, I don't, I can't decide why I'm so reserved about spending $100 on a bookcase.
Whereas Lauren, and you know, I'm speaking on Lauren's behalf here, but Lauren is a girl and she likes things to be cute.
Right, exactly. And there's nothing, I'm not begrudging her that. I think it's totally, I don't think she's a bad person or a materialist because she likes things to be cute. I just say I feel really uncomfortable when spending a lot of money on a thing.
I think we can, I bet we, okay, I'm going to promise here that we're going to get Lauren to come on the show. Mm-hmm. She's not going to come on the show right now, but we're going to get Lauren to come on the show. And if you have preliminary feelings or questions you feel like that would clarify the two sides of this dispute
mm-hmm.
for you, or if you're already ready to pick a side, which I encourage you to do, go for it, says I.
Yeah.
206-984-4FUN. 206-984-4FUN. Call and tell us what you think about this. Ask them a question, and we'll get it on probably next week's show, presuming Lauren isn't busy.
Right. So yeah, I'm not sure what I should do. If I should yield, if I should just go.
Does
and
she
if I
want
should,
you to pay for half of this any stuff she buys?
That's kind of up in the air. I think she would like me. Here's what I think she would like in her perfect world.
Uh-huh.
She would buy a thing, and then I would buy a thing. Mm-hmm. And I think recently we needed a DVD player, so I bought one of those and felt like I was contributing. But then, so I bought that DVD player and was feeling pretty good. I'm like, all right, I'm contributing to the house. I'm a great housemate.
Right.
And then she comes home with three different bookcases and a set of Jaffa blocks. And I'm like, oh, you know, like, I'm like, oh, hell, what am I going to buy? What do I have to buy something now? I have to, like a TV stand or, you know, something. And I didn't, so yeah, that's kind of where
really
I'm at right now.
Really preys on you. Like, I want to clarify, we're not playing this up for the podcast.
No, here. I pretty much talk about this nonstop.
And I think feel like this is like the number one thing that you think about when you're worrying about things is whether you've contributed sufficiently.
Right, right. But no, I mean, she doesn't hit me up for money for it, but I mean, I think it's still, I think she would like me to go to IKEA and come back with.
There isn't, now I should.
Some crazy thing.
I should say that like having been to your house, you have a sofa,
mm-hmm.
and you have a chair.
Right.
You have a TV.
Mm-hmm.
You have a dining room table.
Right.
That's it though.
That is totally.
That's all you have.
There's no chairs on the dining room table at this point.
There's nothing on the walls.
No.
There's no lamps to speak of.
There's a lamp now.
Is there a lamp
Lauren
now?
Bought
okay.
a lamp.
Good. So there's.
Lauren bought a lamp and it made me feel weird.
There's a lamp.
Yeah.
There's, you know, I mean, there's like one of those ceiling lamps. But that's mm-hmm. it. And you're eating with plastic forks, but
right.
not disposable plastic forks.
Washable plastic
washable,
forks.
Like IKEA children's plastic forks
mm-hmm.
that are about an inch long.
Right.
The tines are an inch long, not the whole fork. So it is, you could see, like, Lauren could, has a leg to stand on here.
Absolutely. I'm not, yeah.
Okay, so if you...
I just can't get over my discomfort of buying things. I don't know.
I feel like you guys out there could definitely clarify the situation for us. 206-984-4FUN. We'll get both of them on and give us some questions that we can play on the next show that will really help us get to the bottom of who's in the right and who's in the wrong. Because as a disinterested party here, being friends with both Jordan and Lauren, or as an objective party, I'm going to put their feet to the fire on this issue. That's my promise to you. Okay, you want to do Hang It Up and Keep It Up?
Let's do it. Okay. It's set adrift in the perplexing sea known as the gray area. America is... This isn't working well.
Just say,
I guess I wanted
hang
to
it
be
up.
Too clever. Hang it up! Yeah.
apples. They are totally uninspiring. I feel like I live in America's breadbasket and I should be eating a quince or something. Hang it up, apples. Performance poetry. I get it. You love to express yourself. God, congratulations. Please stop gesticulating. Why are you always stopping in the middle of a word? I don't understand that. Hang it up, performance poetry. Lawns. Oh, seriously, what are you trying to prove? Hang it up, lawns. Sniping at celebrities. You know what? At this point, I feel like this is worse than worshiping celebrities. Hang it up, sniping at celebrities. Crack cocaine. Man, I feel like crack cocaine has become this joke that everybody can go to, like something or other is on crack. But crack is really, really awful. You see crackheads around, you're like, oh, God, that's horrible. Hang it up, crack cocaine. And pirates. I just got this press release related to a book. I'm not going to say what the book is, but this is what the second sentence of the press release is. Johnny Depp's Jack Sparrow has inspired pirate frenzy in America. You know what? Hang it up, pirate frenzy, and hang it up, pirates.
But there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Please, brace yourself for Keep It Up.
You know, I'm saying hang it up, pirates, I feel like a lot of people are really dependent on pirates for thinking of what kind of jokes, in-jokes they're going to make with their coworkers. So we're going to suggest some categories of people that are could be the new pirates for you, okay? Number one. Hobos. Now, obviously, John Hodgman is the king of the hobos right now, especially since the old king of the hobos just died recently.
With this book, The Areas of My Expertise.
Exactly.
Including a very lengthy chapter on hobos.
And you know what? Hobos are wonderful. Maybe, you know, they're headed towards the point where you shouldn't talk about hobos, but you're still in the safe area with hobos. Keep it up, hobos. Cat burglars. They're all black with the mask pulled over their face, and this is important. They have to have a bag with money signs on the side.
Right. Oh, also they're wearing their stripy prison suit.
Exactly. That's another.
They just have broken out of prison but are doing another crime like immediately without changing clothes.
Keep it up, burglars. Okay, Vikings. I don't understand. If you're going to do pirates, why not just do Vikings? They're like pirates but with horns.
Yeah, and you can do a crazy Swedish voice. Like if you're some like ass clown in your office making those pirate jokes, wouldn't you love to just do that crazy Swedish voice too? Like if you're that kind of guy, that kind of Hot Topic kind of guy, you know?
Keep it up.
I guess I should say Urban Outfitters kind of guy. Yeah. That's a little bit of a different kind of guy. If you're that Urban Outfitters kind of guy.
No, I think it's the Hot Topic kind of guy.
Well, isn't that like a teenager? Isn't that like a...
Well, no, I think the Hot Topic kind of guy, once he stops being a teenager, is an ass clown because he goes to the Hot Topic to get the latest ass clown garb.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
We're just splitting hairs here, I think.
Whereas I think an Urban Outfitters guy is just a dope.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, keep it up, Vikings.
Keep it up, Vikings.
Okay, safari captains or other 19th century British colonial military figures.
Something with a pith helmet.
Basically anything with a pith helmet. Keep it up, pith helmets.
What do you call those pants that splay out on the sides?
Oh, I don't know. I know they're like a pegged pant.
A pegged pant.
Like a pegged pant and a high boot.
Yeah.
Maybe. A safari coat. Anything from the Banana Republic circa 1982?
Yeah.
That's where we're going with that. Oh, and finally, and this one is almost completely untapped, and I feel like it's criminal. Conquistadors.
Conquistadors. Same kind of principle as pirates. You have swords. You have getting gold.
Plimaging.
Plimaging. I guess there is the whole kind of genocide associated with it, which
right,
maybe
which
makes
is
it a little less fun.
But I mean with pirates, too, you know, and Vikings. Vikings did their fair share of genocide.
They did some genocide.
I mean, I think after 500 years, we can make a few jokes about it.
I think so too.
You know what I mean?
And that way the healing can begin.
The search for eternal life? What about that? That's
yes.
Completely unplumbed.
Absolutely. Looking for an Aztec city of gold?
That's keep it up. And you know what? I feel like this is such a fertile topic, mm-hmm. The search for what's going to be pirates in the future. Or not what should be, but what could be, mm-hmm. You know, just to keep things fresh.
Right.
I say we open up the phone lines on that one too.
Let's do it.
If you have a suggestion.
Here's a good litmus test for if you have a good suggestion. If when someone asks you to come to their pirate-themed party, if you can think of a better, less dumb theme, that's what we're looking for. That's what
exactly.
We're looking for.
So you can either call us at 206-984-4FUN and just tell us who you are before you say what your suggestion is and say your suggestion, or you can email me at jesse@maximumfun.org, jesse@maximumfun.org, and we'll run them on the next show, and I think this is going to be a fertile topic of conversation.
I think so too.
You ready to wrap things up?
Why not?
Well, that's the end of our program for today. I've been Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart,
and I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
If you think of any good names for the show, that's also something we really should be taking suggestions on.
Maybe, as long as we're taking suggestions.
jesse@maximumfun.org. Bye, guys. If you have thoughts about anything you hear on this program, give us a call, 206-984-4FUN. That's 206-984-4FUN. Here's some things you can call in about this week. Number one, what should Jordan do about this situation with his housemate, Lauren? What should Lauren do about this situation with her housemate, Jordan? What questions would you ask the two of them? What's a good name for the podcast? Because right now we don't even have one. And hey, what's a good replacement for the pirate? All of those, 206-984-4FUN, or anything that strikes your fancy. Give us a call and we just might play it on the podcast.